Young Mamba.
We are.
Young Mamba right there.
Recording whenever you're ready.
It's a young Kobe.
Yo. Phones on mute. Your phone, whatever. So in case.
Oh, my shit on mute.
So in case, you know, and we ready to go. Ready? Nah, just lock it. Nobody walking in here, bro. They don't even know we back here. Yo, what's going on, people? Y'all know what time it is. DBI Live on Fet Life, Mega Ever College Station. We got him in the house today. You probably seen him on social media. Pilot, Philadelphia Pilot. He's been all over. This is the man that we want to talk to. If you're in the t-shirt business, if you are a hungry entrepreneur that's trying to come up, we got him in the house. Love Money. Welcome to DBI Live.
My guy, Suave. Appreciate y'all having me. Joey DeVille, I appreciate you.
So we're going to get right into it, bro.
Let's get right into it.
You know, for the last 2-3 years, right, the t-shirt business been oversaturated. You see a lot of people, especially brothers coming home from prison, that's the number one business they want to get into. T-shirt. I want to do t-shirts. You know, I want you to give them the game, right? Because a lot of people think, I go out, I get a heat press machine, get some transfers, and make some money. Is that the way it goes?
No.
So how the games go for them?
Well, I'm probably a big, I can't take all the credit, but I'm probably 80% of the reason why the t-shirt game oversaturated in Philadelphia. I probably was one of the first ones that opened up the doors to, like, where you can start your line at. You mean we're just telling people in the streets that, yo, this is where you get the t-shirts from. This is where you get the machines at. This is what machine you need. This is how you, this the blocks to go hit when you hustling. Go get the money. This is people who got the money. So what I would say is, though, is the beginning is dedication to just making money. Not really a designer. Don't come out trying to be a designer. Come out just trying to make some money. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just get a t-shirt. If you don't got a budget and you ain't got the logos and all that, get some bleach. Design that joint with bleach and a stencil. And then just go out there and create a clientele. Before you become successful, you need a clientele. Clientele is like, somebody got to buy it. Even if you give it away, your clientele is getting samples. You're still building the clientele. So the first step is find out, do you want to be a designer or you just trying to get some money? I think a lot of people just need to get some money, but they got hopes of being a designer. So they try to do both of them in the beginning when you just really need to make your mind up. Like, you know what? I'm going to design some shirts and I'm going to just get some money.
You know, and I try to tell the brothers when I go into the prisons and speak to them, because that's the first thing you hear, I want to start a t-shirt line. I'm like, you got to look at this game like the drug game.
Yeah, for
sure.
You
got a product. You got to cut it up. You got to distribute it. You got to give out samples.
For sure.
Because a lot of people, you know, I got a t-shirt business. I don't want to give out a sample because that's my money I'm giving out.
Right.
You know, what they don't understand is the essence of business. And what I see with your line is like the essence of business, not just a t-shirt line. When I see one of your shirts, I don't see just, oh, that's just somebody that's trying to make some money. I see somebody that's creating a foundation for a brand.
Right, right, yeah. Appreciate
like,
you.
Love Money is not just a name. It's a brand in the hood.
Yeah.
It's a brand in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, so when you mention it, a t-shirt and a brand, what is the difference from having just me selling t-shirt and having a brand?
The difference between selling t-shirts and a brand is like a brand is something that thousands of people are wearing. Like that shirt that he got on, thousands of people got that shirt on. That's a branded shirt. Selling the shirt is like, you made an Eagle shirt because the Eagles are popping right now. So, you know, you designed the Eagle shirt. That's just making a shirt. You know what I mean? You're just making t-shirts. You made a Sixers shirt. You made a Mother's Day shirt, a birthday shirt. You made a, even if you put F you paid me on a shirt and it's just a shirt. Thousands of people haven't worn it yet. It's not a brand. A brand is like when somebody can be like, oh, you got that Love Money on, or you got that Nike on. You know what I mean? Shout out to New Balance. You know, Foot Locker. It's a brand. Like, what you got going on right now is a brand. You're building swag.
Y'all heard it straight from Love Money Mouth. DBI Live is a brand. And in case y'all don't know, for all of y'all that's doubting, look it up. Pull a surprise. IDA. Don't get no better than that. You know, why am I saying that? Because it's the same script when it comes to business. The same script in podcasts, the same script in t-shirt, the same script in music. You could be the best rapper out there, but if you don't have a good marketing strategy, you're just the best rapper out there. That's then you get somebody like me that can't really rap and outsell you, and you wonder why. You wonder why Tekashi 6ix9ine is selling more than Anue. Right? Marketing. Right. Strategy. Tekashi 6ix9ine is a brand. Mm-hmm. It's not just a rapper. And I don't even like his music. I like Joey DeVille's music better. You know, seriously.
Me
you
too.
Know, but shout a lot of Joey. People don't understand that getting money don't mean like I'm gonna just get t-shirts. Brothers, sisters, those that's hearing us on lockdown, take this man's playbook. This man created a brand from sketch.
Yeah.
From sketch.
We're right from you sketch. Know, literally.
It wasn't like somebody gave him. He created it from sketch, right? When you first started, how was it? You know, like.
It was.
So the people could get an understanding. You know, like how many shirts was you selling a week
when you started? It started. We wasn't even selling shirts. It started crazy. This shit gets emotional too, my son here. When I started, I ain't had no money. So like I was with his mom and we sold our food stamps to get cash, to get inventory done, to give it away.
So, give like, it away.
We turned food stamps into food, but we ain't get no groceries. You know what I mean? We took his food stamps, sold them to get inventory to give it away. Because I believe like one day we going to be where we at. How we living, Pop? We on the 16th floor, right? You got a bathroom in your room, right? You eat what you want, right? You know why he get what he want? Because I sold his food stamps to build this brand. So when we started, shit was bad. So we was living in this. We was squatting in the like, we was squatting in the house. We had took a house. Like I kicked in the door, changed the locks, wrote the lease up, and me, my son, and my baby mom. We started from there. So everybody's story gonna be different, but that's how I started. But as far as sales, it wasn't no sales. That's why it's samples to sold out because we gave out samples before somebody bought
it. That's the part that's left out when people start seeing what's happening now, the sacrifice.
They see the end result.
They see the spotlight. He's eating. He's living. They don't see what it took to get there.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of people don't understand that to get somewhere, you have to struggle. I remember coming home from prison in 2017, and I was working at the 25th Police District. And I said, F this job. I want to do a podcast. I went to work for a local radio station for free. For free. I told the guy I worked for, I just want to learn the system, right? And started recording my podcast. Then the pandemic hit. I had no job. I was living off my art. That was like the most art I ever sold. I was selling like 6-7 pieces a month. And I'm talking about thousands of dollars, not just the $100. I'm talking about $8,000-$9,000 pieces, right? But my thing was creating a podcast. People don't understand that there was times when I was up in that third floor, my studio, broke, eating oodles and noodles. And I still eat them today.
Yeah,
I still
too.
Eat them today.
We eat noodles. Right?
But that's the sacrifice. So a lot of people think like, oh, you up, you got a Pulitzer Prize. Pulitzer Prize don't mean shit to me. At all. Excuse my language, big man. But it don't really mean nothing to me. You know what it means? It means that the door is open for the next person in my neighborhood, someone that's struggling to say, I could create a story and reach the pinnacle of journalism. This man did it after 31 years in prison. So it's nothing impossible. It's just putting in the work. And that's the problem that we have. People want to create stuff. I want a studio. All right, go create it. Well, I don't really want to do that much. I said, then you don't want it. Got to sacrifice. This man has just told you he sold his kid's food stamp to create food. You know, I think a lot of people didn't get that line.
I don't think they caught that.
I don't think they got that, too. No, we took, food. Yeah, we but took, he eating to that. Facts. You know, so what came about? You know, when was the first time that you said, I want to create a brand? You know, how that came about?
I'm going to tell you this shit crazy. Yo, I'm going to tell you this shit crazy. This is how it started. This is facts. Me and his mom got in an argument. We were squatting in this house. Me and his mom get in an argument, and she take him and she go to her mom's house for the weekend, right? I'm 30 years old. I'm in this room where we squatting at. I'm in the back room, and I'm just, it's the end of the day. And I'm like, damn, like, I'm 30 years old, yo. I ain't got no chain. I ain't got no car. I ain't got no crib. I ain't got no job. I really ain't got no money. Like, we selling little drugs here and there. Like, we, you know, getting a decent meal and, you know, we dress nice on the weekend. We cool. He got diapers and shit. But I ain't got shit, right? So I started, like, talking to God out loud. Like, yo, like, I'm fucked up down here, man. Like, shit hard, bro. I'm trying to ball. I want some yachts. I want to live in a condo, like. I want to help my hood get on. Like, I mean, I'm crying. I'm breaking down. Like, man, I done study Islam, Christianity, Hebrew, Israelim. I did 5 years up top. I done study every religion. I done went to church, read the scriptures. Like, man, that shit don't touch me, man. Like, Jesus don't grab me, man. Muhammad don't grab me, man. Buddhism don't grab. Don't nothing grab me, man. But, like, I know you real. I don't know what the, I need you to show me something, man, because I'm fucked up. I go to sleep crying that night. I go to sleep crying, right? I'm crying. I go to sleep crying that night. I get this dream that night. I'm in the hallway, and it's a dark hallway, and at the end of the hallway is a light, and there's a green heart and a red dollar sign. And I heard this voice, and it said, put this on clothes and forget everything you know. Well, I wake up in the morning. I'm just light up a cigarette and shit. My friends come outside. They live next door to me and shit. I'm like, yo, I had this fucking dream, nigga. Yo, this dream told me, like, we're going to put this on clothes, nigga. This shit going to be major, nigga. Like, nigga, we're going to be balling, nigga. They laugh at me. Man, you bugging. I'm like, nigga, I'm about to forget everything I know, nigga. I'm forgetting the street code. I'm forgetting negativity. I ain't selling no drugs. I ain't fucking with you if you ain't doing nothing positive. I don't believe in no calendar. I don't celebrate no holidays, no birthdays. I'm forgetting everything I was ever taught. I'm going to build my whole life from scratch from this day forward. Yo, I was breaking down talking to God, bro. He spoke to me, dog. Everybody laughed at me. Took it to my mom. I said, Mom, I had this dream. My mom said, Mijo, ain't nobody going to wear that. Mijo, man, you better get a job. I'm like, Mom, I ain't going back to work. I ain't selling drugs no more. I ain't going back to work. I'm gonna find a way to build this. I'm gonna find a way to build this bread. This gonna come to life. I'm gonna figure it out. And I stopped hustling. I tapped my face because I said if I tap my face, it's gonna force me to make this work. Cause ain't nobody gonna give me an application. Ain't nobody gonna give me no job if I got my face tatted. You know what I mean? I'm gonna have to make this shit blow. And started selling his food stamps. Giving out samples. A few people kind of like, bro, here go 200. I think, you know, here go 200. Don't forget about me when you blow. This person gave me a shout out to Face. Rest in peace to Yola. Shout out to Nana. And then they gave Face a phone call. Face gave us $1,000. Josh, shout out to YO Josh. Josh bought me a car. Ape Gang Garcia gave me some papers. A few people gave me some paper, a little $100 here, a little Chris Smalls. Chris Smalls cut me a check. I just got off the phone with Chris Smalls. So within like the first like year, it was no money. Nobody was there. I was selling food stamps. When the flow kind of picked up and I knew how to tell somebody what they got and what this shit going to be one day, a few people hopped out and was like, yo, here go $500, here go $100, here go $1,000. And that was the beginning. I never went to school for this shit. Never had a passion for fashion. I'm polo boy, polo. You know that was Nautica, Reebok, Eddie Bauer, Gap, right. And
But today is love money.
Yeah, today is love money. Today.
So all of y'all out there, all y'all DBI fans, that's hearing this, go cop that love money.
Facts. So basically, that was the beginning. That's how I came. And that first year was, the first 5 years was hell. I think people think like you can get lucky. You can come out, and if you got drive, you go out there and make $1,000 a day. I don't give a fuck if you put a doorknob on a shirt and call it my turn. If you go out there, it's people out there with money. You go to Kenzo, you're going to get some money. You make $1,000 a day easy. It's 7 to 8 people. So it's money out there if you got the drive, but you're going to need the shortcuts that I learned over the last 9 years, though. Yeah, I mean, if you go out there today and just, like, think you can walk through any block in Kenzo and get sales, probably not. You know what I mean? You're going to have to know how to talk to them. You're going to have to know how to say, huh, here goes sample. You got to look, size somebody up and know their size immediately. I done been across town, across Broad Street, where it's, you know, it's all black boys. Ain't no Ricans across there. 17th and Cumberland and all that. I done went across there. Yo, I got shirts. Now, Pop, we cool. Size everybody up. 30 seconds. Give everybody a shirt. Come back next week. Yo, Pop, pull over. You got to know how to do that. You got to know how to ignore the, nah, we don't wear that shit, Pop. We cool. Get the fuck out of here. So there's a lot of things that come with building a brand. Unless you plan to design it, put it online, and say, support me. I ain't take that route. I didn't even know that route existed. I took the route, 100 shirts in a duffel bag. That's why if you look inside the shirt, if you look inside the tag, a lot of niggas don't know inside the tag, this is me and him when he was 2 years old. I used to walk with 100 shirts in the duffel bag that I sold his food stamps to get. And me and him, I used to have to carry him. You know what I mean? And walk around Kensington with 100 shirts in the duffel bag till that shit was sold out. You know what I mean? So now, you know, I think the first 5 years we did that. We had 2 stores in the first 5 years, but we were still walking around doing that and shit.
You know, recently I came across one of your social medias when you said, my price is my price.
Yeah.
You don't negotiate with that. Like, $125, $150, that's it.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah.
Break that down for those up-and-coming business people when you say my price is my price. Because a lot of time, we see that in the art world where I want $10,000 for my piece. Oh, man, that's not worth $10,000. It's not worth $10,000. It's not for you.
It's not for you.
My price is my price. You know, and I don't think that a lot of people understand that. You know, what does that actually mean in business? Why? My price is my price.
I didn't go to school for business, but I'm pretty sure my opinion is, like, not too far-fetched. I think when it comes to, like, your price being your price, it's like Meek said, it's levels to the shit. So me, I did 4 years stomping the ground, giving out discounts and, you know, just building the brand, right? 4 years of that. They go high school. Then I did 4 years of, like, understanding the business. They go college. So when I dropped the Kenzo Dior shirt and I said 125, you paying me for the 8 years of school I just did on building this shit. So my price today is my price because of how much I'm $400,000 in. I don't got $400,000. But on the books, what I spent with them wholesalers, I'm $400,000 in. So 8 years after I'm done graduating, I know how to tell you how to build a brand from a bottle of water and up. So now I deserve, my price is my price now. In the beginning, you took an $8,000 painting. It took you years to do that. That's worth $8,000 now.
31 years and 7 years in solitary confinement. I want my picture back, Joey DeVille. You know, and I'm glad you said that, right? Because this is what I tell people. And I get this, I be playing with people sometimes, right? But I be dead serious at the same time. When people say, why you always say you're a Pulitzer Prize winner? Because I am the only, I'm gonna keep saying only, Latino, Puerto Rican in the United States of America to have a Pulitzer Prize winner that served 31 years in the penitentiary.
That's good shit.
Came home. Seriously, came home.
Yeah.
And I took what Barbara Walters worked for 50 years home. What all these top-notch reporters go to school for, I took it with 7 episodes of the Suave Podcast. Mm. Easy. That was easy work. You know why it was easy work? Because when we dropped it, I told all my producers, we're going to win something. That was like, you crazy. We're going to win something with this. Because they cannot tell my struggle. None of them been in prison. They could talk about prison in a fancy way, but I live in that cell. I ate them oodles and noodles while my sully was taking the shit. I did that. I did that. My mother died and when I was in prison and I couldn't even get out to go to the funeral. I had to stand there and listen to my old celly, you know, because his mother died too around the same time. So when I tell people like, yo, believe in yourself and stick with it. Because a lot of times, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. Don't work the first time, people quit. I ain't quit. And I still ain't quitting. Because no matter from this day on, no matter who comes after me, when you look at the history books,
you gonna see my name.
It's only one name in there. It's not even my last name. It's Suave. And if y'all don't believe it, Google it. You know, my guy Joey DeVille, always, he loved when I say that. You know, he be like, you acting like a prima donna.
Shout out to Joey.
That's right. It's my guy, right? And I never forget this. We went to New York recently, and we stopped at a store, and I told the guy, yo, this cheese there is cold. Now, who are you? I was like, Google my name. That's what I told him. And I'm like, you know what, man? We earned this shit, bro. Like, we put in work.
Facts.
I put in almost 25 years paintings. Painting. I created the Restorative Justice Mural Arts Program in Gratis Fall Prison. And we created 52 murals. Murals for the city of Philadelphia. A lot of people don't know that because they kept it shut because we was lifers. But now that I'm out, I'm like, yo, that's my mural. That's what drove me to this man here when I seen, oh, that's Joey. Joey, that's my mural. No, you serve it. That's my mural, bro. We painted that. You know, and what I'm saying to people is, man, got to stick with it. Can't give up. F what somebody say.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going to tell you you can't make it. There's going to be a lot of people, especially family members. Because my family members thought I was crazy when I quit my job at the 25th District and started doing a podcast. Like, yo, you crazy. I'm like, yeah, I know. You try to do 7 years in solitary confinement. Tell me how you going to be, right? But the bottom line is that I knew I had something. Because I studied podcasts. I listened to every podcast that was out there. And I was like, there's nothing like this. There's nothing like this. And it's the same thing with business. When I look at your brand, and I did, I went social media. I'm like, there's nothing out there like it. Fair. You got a lot of people doing t-shirts, but it's not a brand. I don't have to know your name.
Right.
All I have to know is Love Money and the logo. That's all I got to do. You know, that's a brand.
That's a brand.
That's a brand. You don't have to know who's the designers behind Tommy Hilfiger. All you know is Tommy Hilfiger. Polo. That's, you know, it. It's a brand.
He got a life of his own.
It's a life of his own. So, you know, but I'm interested. You know, you say you did 5 years up top.
Yeah.
What year was that?
2000 and, I did three up top. I did two in the county from 2007 to 2012.
So when you was up top, right, you know, was you thinking about one day, you know, I'm going to get to shine, I'm going to get to represent my hood, my community?
Yo, you know, it's crazy. If you go to my hood, like where I'm from, Fairhope and Canberra, and even Wyoming, all my friends from the ages, like, 10 and up will tell you, like, I always told them, like, yo, I'm going to be the reason why we make it about this shit. I promise you. Since the age of 10, I'm talking about maybe 9. Always to all my friends. Like, we go through Fairhope, Canberra, recent Canberra. Yo, who TJ, yo? Who love my yeah, he said when he was a kid, he was going to come back and save. He was going to get millions and all. Man, he was saying that shit every year. Every year, he always told us, like, yo, this is going to be our year. I'm telling you, like, I thought I was going to be a ball player. They used to call me Reggie Miller. Like, I had a crazy, like, three-pointer, like, growing up. Like, my I used to shoot from distance. And they used to call me Reggie Miller. I was like a pure shooter, like a clutch pure shooter, right? So I'm thinking, we all thinking, oh, he going to the NBA. And then high school came and my mom couldn't get me, you know, Coogee and Guess jeans. And the street snagged me. I was able to get Coogee's and Guess jeans. And cases. School was a wrap. Basketball out the window. I'm in out of jail. Now I'm writing music. Like, oh, damn. So now I'm coming home. I'm like, yo, man, listen to this. And they like, oh, my God. Like, he going to be a rapper, bro. You going to get signed, bro. You hot. I'm one of the hottest in my hood. right? The DVD era wasn't even on DVDs, just rapping on the streets, you know, hustling, rapping on the corners. So all my friends thinking like, yeah, it's going to be music. And music faded by more state time. Going to jail more, you know, music faded. And then as I'm upstate, I ain't going to lie. So when I got upstate, it wasn't about music and it wasn't about playing basketball no more. It was more like, I'm going to go home and get a job. I'm going to go home and get a job, and I'm going to try to come as close to God as I can get. You know what I mean? Because I think when you up there and you studying all these different religions, you kind of understand that, you know what, God is real. There's a God. I don't know his name. I don't know what you call him, but I ain't got a name for him. I call him God. So, like, and people in general, I don't know what y'all got a name for him, but upstate kind of taught me that, yo, God is real, and it's a right way to live life. You know what I mean? And for me, the right way was like, you know what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to get a job and putting on for my city or putting on for my friends. I'm not the savior. I thought I was, but.
You know what, man? I remember.
And then it mapped out, you know.
I remember being locked up, right? And I used to call the, a Spanish radio station. They used to give me like 15 minutes every week just to talk about what's going on in the prison. And I told a few of my homies, yo, when I get out, I'm going to do a podcast. They was like, bro, you need a license. Then nobody's going to let you do that. I mean, my homies. And I was like, all right, because I had a book. I bought a book. And how to do podcasts. And I thought I knew that shit. And I read the whole book. And I was like, I'm going to do this. People was like, you need a license. I was like, license for what? To talk? You know, license, man. All I need is a phone. But lucky for me, I had, you know, some mental shit. I had some people in my corner that's really up there in journalism that was like, yo, we got you. We're going to do this, right? And we did it. But I used to always, even with a life sentence, I used to always think like, yo, I want to go home and represent my people. Our people, when I mean my people, I mean convicts. I mean people that don't have a voice in media. I don't mean regular people. I'm talking about people that are shut down from media. Anybody incarcerated do not have a platform in media, period. You can't even write the newspaper. Mm. They would not send that letter out. And I said, I want to be that voice. And people just laugh. So when they told me I'm going home in 2017, I ain't told nobody in there. I'm just going home. I just went home.
You ain't tell none of your friends?
Nobody. I was in a maximum security prison where it was a lot of hate. And then back of my mind is, if one of these dudes gets slick, I can't do shit about it. I'm trying to go home November 20th. I'm not trying to be here another 2 years because this dude got slick. And in prison, they do that.
Right, yeah.
You got a lot of punk dudes that when they know you're going home and they hate you, they're going to try you, right?
I got a story like that right before I came home.
They're going to try you because they know I'm not going home. I'm serving life.
Right.
I could mess your parole date up quick. So I was like, I'm not telling nobody. All I did, I told the superintendent I want to move outside. So they put me out in the trailers. And people was like, how the heck you get out there? You got life. Man, they got me cleaning the whole shit and all that stuff. That was my job out there for 30 days. I loved it. Because that was the first time. That was like the first time in my life I ever seen a horse.
Man,
like play with the horse
back.
And all
That's
that.
Crazy.
But when I won the Pulitzer, you know, in my speech, they was trying to make it seem like I wasn't even in jail. And I was like, oh, whoa, no, you got to say I was in jail. I wouldn't even go up there unless you say that. You can't erase that part of my history. You know, and in my speech, I told the people at Columbia University, you know, this is for all the people that fought for my freedom, for social justice. You know, and I know that wasn't flying well with them, but I did it because I wanted to give representation to those that I left behind. Those in the hood, they probably think, oh, I can't do a podcast and get money with it. Stop playing. A Pulitzer Prize is money. I don't know if y'all know that. A lot of money, too. A lot of money. And for those that don't know what a Pulitzer Prize is, it's a brand. I'm part of that brand for life.
For life.
It's a brand.
Yeah.
That's what that is. It's a brand.
Yeah, I like this word.
It's a brand. You know, Next. And I go back to the brand because we talk about love money. Love money is a brand. Love Money is a brand. I don't care where you at around the world. People know Love, and they know Money.
Yeah.
Period. Without that, you can't get nowhere in the world.
Right. And it's crazy because I didn't even name it.
Without that, you can't get nowhere in the world. You can have love, but if you ain't got no money, you know, I'll see you later on, buddy.
No, that's facts.
But if you got both, them doors are going to open. And I ain't trying to get spiritual with people.
That's just real,
but though. But it's the real thing. You know, when we talk about brands, people don't understand that. People just think, oh, what is that? It's a brand. You want to be part of the family? It's a brand. You know, you don't get in certain places unless you're part of that brand. I know that for sure. I've been invited to places that I never in my life thought I could get into. And it's not because they love Swire. They don't love Swire.
It's the brand.
They love the brand. They all want to be connected to, he got a Pulitzer Prize. They all love, white people love to say that. It sounds fancy to them. To us, it's like, what is that? Hmm. You know, to them, it's like, you better Google it. You know, so what I want people to understand is hearing this interview, man, it's like, if you're going to get into the business, if you're going to get in any business, don't go in it thinking, I'm going to just make a dollar and step out. If you want to be successful, go in it because you want to create a brand.
Mm.
You know, yeah. So, yeah, you said you had a story about...
right before I went home, like them type of people you talk about, like people that you said you ain't tell nobody you was coming home.
No.
I made the mistake before I came home. I was telling people, I'm on my way home, and I'm in Cole Township, but it's lifers up there. I was with a couple lifers, man. Shout out to Ooh, shout out to Kwai. Shout out to Nah. Nah just get his life back. But I was up there with some lifers, but there was this one guy, and this is just how, this is life, man. This is a big message I learned later after. So I get into I find a stinger under my table. We playing cards. Somebody's about to get raided, and they sell. They throw the stinger, and it land on my feet, so I grab it. This me now. You know what I mean? You about to get raided, this me. The guy across from me says, yo, let me borrow that joint tonight. Oh, you could borrow it, but make sure you give it back to me. So I let him borrow it. Boom. When I asked him for it 2 or 3 days later, he let somebody else borrow it. So when I go to them, like, yo, such and such that you the... He like, no, they took that joint, bro. Like, they raised the sale. They took that joint. So I'm like, damn. So I'm like, damn, such and such on some nut shit, right? Cool, left it alone. Right? Boom. We go to the yard one day. I'm leaving in like a week. The guy calls me over like, yo, bro, such and such said you said I was a nut. I'm like, bro, I'm about to go home, bro. I ain't worrying about that stinger and none of that. He's like, nah, bro, you owe me a fair one for that, bro. I'm like, bro, this is my friend. I'm like, bro, I'm about to go home, bro. I go home next week, bro. Man, I need a fair one, bro. I turn my back, walk away from him, right? It's a crowd there, the in crowd in the day room. You know what I mean? I was part of that in crowd. So I ignore it. I go home the next week, right? 2 years ago, I see him on the social media, smoked out. And he's letting somebody punch him in his stomach for $5. So his Puerto Rican kid hit him with a stomach blow. Boom! And he just like, in slow motion, right? And then I think back like, damn, like, my son wouldn't be here if I would have gave him a fair one that day, right? Then again, I see him again maybe 8 months ago. I'm on Marshall and I ain't gonna say 100, but I'm on Marshall Street in Huntington Park. And I'm parked up taking care of the block. You know, it's like I got a clientele out there, 10, 15 people that always buy it from me. And he walks up the block and he's conversating with one of my folks. One of my folks that if I would have said, yo, smack him in his face for me, man. It's some personal shit. Knock him on his ass real quick. He would have did it for me. But I see him smoked out, looking bad. And I tell my man next to me, like, yo, bro, upstate, he almost sent me back, man. He almost sent me back. I look at him now like I'm not even mad. You know what I mean? And it's just life trying to show me, like, it's good to just let some shit slide sometimes, man.
Yo, nah, that's just how it works, man. Like, I tell people, man, like, my crew, my personal crew, small. I pick them. You don't pick if you want to be in my crew. I pick them. Right? I pick who I want to put in certain rooms. Right? Because when I was struggling, when I was trying to do this, a lot of people laugh. Like I said, a lot of people was like, man, he ain't going away. He's crazy. He's crazy. Now, you know, today, you know, I could record something and have it on the air Friday. I could record something and have it on Apple, Spotify, radio station, Tri-State, all over. You know, that's the power that we got now, right? And it's funny because the same people that laugh at us, they probably looking at us now like, damn. They head down like, won't even know how to approach. And I don't even take stuff personal. To me, it's like, yo, I'm not messing with you, but I don't wish you bad. Get better, bro.
Yeah, figure it
get
out.
Get better. You know, you get it. You get it. Life is going to give you that fair when you want it from me. Life is giving it to you.
Giving it to him. When I seen him, right. I was just like, damn.
And it's the same thing with the prisons. I get prison calls. I get emails from people that when I was in a prison, I know they didn't want to see me come home. Because when I was in prison, you know, I used to control the ice cream. I used to run the Latino organization. And we had, again, we had a tight. To get in there, you had to be down there, be sworn in, you know. And the reason for that was because I always felt like blacks had their own organizations. The whites had their own organization.
Decline.
We should have ours. We should have ours. And I shouldn't be like, I want to be inclusive and allow this guy, that guy, that guy. When they got, nah, go over there, right? So I see some of them people did that. There was ballers in prison, bro. Mm. Ballers. And you already know what a baller in prison is, right? Mm-hmm. But out here, they're straight up, doing bad.
Rock bottom.
Swab, can you help me with a job? I can help you get in school for free. You want to change your life? I can help you get a trade. I can help you do this, right? And I just look at them like, if you would have invested that same energy that you had in trying to bully somebody, because I call it bully,
mm-hmm.
and try to act like you was this guy that you not, you probably would have been all right. You've been all right out here. But look at you now. Look at you now. A lot of people tell me, why you mess with Joey, man? You know. A lot of people do that. You don't even know that guy. You know what I tell people? I study that guy for about a year before I even call him. For about a year. Somebody sent me his music in Alabama. I listened. They were like, he's from Philly. I was like, I don't want to hear another Puerto Rican rap from Philly, man. They can't rap. You know, that was my thing. But then I heard it. I was like, whoa. And then I called him one that midnight. This dude was up at midnight. I don't know what he was doing, but he was up at midnight.
That's how calling. I felt when I first heard him.
Right? So musically, right? Musically, you know, I see you drop a few lines, man.
Yeah,
I seen it.
Yeah, you might have seen me drop a few lines.
Yeah, tell us about that. Tell us about, you know, because you said earlier that, you know, you wrote music.
Yeah, so I used to rap.
That was your first time dropping a 16.
Yeah,
right?
I thought I was going to be a rapper. You know, I went to jail, and then there's other people rapping in there, and I'm like, they rapping about my life. And I'm like, shit, I could rap about my life too. You know what I mean? So it never was the punchlines. For me, it was just like, yo, this is what I'm going through. Like, and, you know, it was music for me. That's not the music that people actually like attracted to when I was doing it. It was more like getting partying. I didn't know how to do that. Punchlines. I was more like, man, I'm just talking about what's going on in my life. And even to this day, when I decide to write something, or if I'm chilling, I'm in my bed relaxing and thoughts come to my head, I might put a rap together. Some people call it poetry, but it's just something I do for therapy. That's my therapy. That's my way of talking to like the world. And a lot of the stuff I never even leak. A lot of the stuff I just like to throw it on an Instagram video. I got a beat to it, but they ain't give it to you on the beat. And it's just some things I just, for me, it's just therapy. For now, the way music is going, for me, this shit just therapy the way I make music.
Right. You know, I think I would have bust Joey's bubbles back in the days if he was rapping in Spanish. You know, I can't mess with him today, you know. I'm not into the music no more, but he already know. case y'all don't know, he's doing a documentary on a mixtape that I did from inside of Gratis Wall Prison. You know, hopefully you can do a feature there. Spanish, all Spanish too. That was before reggaeton was hot and any of that stuff. You know, but what I love about you is, bro, is that you always shouting out other people.
Yeah.
You always giving a platform for other people to, you know, shine with their brand, bro. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, that's a fact.
It's like you sharing the love.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't do that. Why you
why?
Do that?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Why you necessarily do that?
I knew you was going to ask me that. So what happened was this. The night I broke down, yo, if you ask some of my oldest friends, they'll tell you, like, yo, when he was growing up, he always said, like, he was all of our ticket. He always said, like, man, we all coming. I used to tell my friends, moms, like, I'm going to move you. I'm going to get you a house in Paris, man. Get you a house. What you want? House in Puerto Rico? I'm going to get it. I'm telling you, I'm going to be this. I'm going to the NBA. And then when I went to jail and I came home and I was rapping, I'm about to get signed, man. I'm going to get a crazy record deal. And I used to tell my friends' parents, I'm going to move you. I'm going to move you wherever you want to go. I'm telling you, I'm going to make millions. I'm going to do it. I'm the ticket. You don't hear these bars? When that died down, went back upstate, it was kind of like, man, I'm going to come home and just be me and just, like, get a job and just, you know, my oldest son was already born. I'm like, man, don't count on me, man. I'm sorry. You know, I let y'all down. I made wrong decisions. And the night that I broke down and was talking to God, part of what I said was, I want to help my hood. I want to uplift my people. I want to make it. I want a ball. I want yachts. I want Benzes back to back. I want a plane. I want mansions. I want property. I want the finest things in life. The exceed, man, the biggest things you can want. I want all that. Yeah, I need that. So I'm breaking down talking to God. Like, I'm trying to ball. I want the jewelry. I want all that. I want to help my people. I want my people to be cool. So when the platform actually started generating money, I was just keeping my word. It was like, yo, like, you gave me light. I'm about to shed some light. And for the first 8 years that I did it, it was free. It was like, man, I'm doing it just to do it. But my intentions were for you to make it a trend. Like, I'm helping you build your business. So I'm hoping that you take this deed that I'm doing and you help others. Because now it becomes a movement. But if I look back on the last 8 years and I'm looking like, yo, I'm still the only one that's doing it. It's like everybody I help go to the next level, when I watch their work, it's like, you're not helping nobody. It's like, damn, like, I gave you money, I bought from you over and over, shout outs over and over, I helped you do this, I helped you do that, helped you do that. And then when I look at what y'all doing, it's like, damn, y'all not forwarding the progress. Y'all not, like, so I'm wasting my time. So it's like, damn, you know what I learned? Giving y'all all these shout outs for free for 8 years, y'all just squeezed the energy out of me. Y'all didn't reciprocate it. I didn't need nothing back from you, but there's other people that I needed you to help. And that's what I was counting on when I was helping. Now it's like, you know what? You're going to pay like your way. If I choose to do something for you, it's out of homage. Maybe it's out of a connection. Maybe it's out of, like, you know what I mean? But it ain't just, like, some people like to just send me something. Yo, repost that. Damn, I can't remember the last time you bought a t-shirt off me. So you want me to repost this because you about to get some money. If I repost, I'm going to send you money. But you ain't got no plans on sending me no money. I done reposted people. And then you know what hurts the most? When you give your people promo and they shit take off and you can't remember them spending $100 with you. And you like, damn, you doing good now. And it's your people. It's the blacks. It's the Ricans. It's the people that you came up with in the hood that you're looking at like, damn, I go to this place. It don't even matter. A stranger has treated me better than people I grew up with or people I grew bonds with. A stranger I gave promo to treated me like a king. And he never even asked for the promo. It was random. It just happened to be me trying to put my people on. He didn't ask me to do promo. I went there to show the people, yo, if you're trying to start a clothing line, look, this is where you go at. 1 million views. Shit went viral. You know how much money came to his business? Don't even matter what he did for me. Because he didn't pay for it, and it wasn't for him. It was for the people. Yo, this is where y'all get your t-shirts at. This is where you come and get your vinyl. You can also come here and they'll manufacture the brand for you. I did this for the people, for y'all. See, what I do is, once I graduate, then I give you my homework. This Kenzo Dior, I'm not going to give you the plug on this yet. I'm not done studying. But Fish Street, I graduated that. I don't got to go to Fish Street to get shirts, clothes. So I can give y'all that. I graduated. I mastered it. Here go my homework. Yo, you need t-shirts? Come see them. You need vinyl? Come see them. I'm not doing business there no more. Unless it's an emergency. So it was always for like, the promise I made to God was like, I'm not going back to negativity, and I'll promise to share the light with the people. Because that's what this shit is about. And it's cool if you selfish and you all for yourself. Some people think your brother is your brother that's blood. That's my brother. Joey DeVille, that's my brother. We know we ain't grow up together, but that's my brother. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I don't think like people think, some people think like, you know, your mom's son is your brother. But if I go to, if we all died today and the world ended and we standing in front of God, that's my brother. You my brother.
I always felt, man, I always felt the same way, bro. Like, I felt the same way, man. Like, when I put people in different rooms, man, I let them know, like, when you come up, put somebody else in the room.
Yeah.
When you're done, you know. And they tell you, like, yo, I put them in rooms where if you don't know how to make moves, then you done. Because you was in a room with a bunch of people that could help you get where you want to get. But put somebody on, because that's going to come back to bite you, man. And but that's why I don't mess with a lot of people. I don't mess with a lot of people. And the people I do mess with, they go with me everywhere. Everywhere. It's not even about. I remember one time, right? I think Joey called me. I hooked him up with somebody. He called me. He said, I just want to let you know. I said, I don't even know that. It's you. You in that space. You know, but I respect the fact that he was like, nah, I just want to let you know because I know how people are when they put you somewhere and then they think you're doing something, right? And I was like, nah, bro. I put you there for a reason.
I want you to feel backdoored.
Yeah, but if I would have felt like you was backdooring me, that would have been some sucker stuff. Because I ain't put you there, right, with no other intention than you need to be there. What I told you from the beginning, you need to be there because this is what you do. Mm. I don't do that. I just know the people. But I'm thinking like, yo, my man need to be here. I got somebody that could do all this, right? And it's that simple with me. Like, but if you feel like you can't put nobody else on, then that's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Then you ain't going nowhere.
I think it's a secret society in today's generation of successors.
No, what we don't have is a society of Latinos, right? I believe business people, Latinos, that could just say, you know what? I see what you're doing. I love what you're doing. I want to help. How can we use our platform to make this better for the next people? For him or for other people like him? How can we make it better for them? They don't do that because people always think about, I want money, 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 money. I want more money than Joey. It's not about money with me. It's not about money. You know why? Because all I have to do is pick up the phone and I'm going to have money. I'm going to have money. I don't need the physical money. But if I could get 10 Joeys in a situation where they could get their life right, that's enough for me. That's enough for me to do
that. That's money.
That's money.
That's money.
So with that say, bro, you know, I see you like money, right?
Facts.
This for you, bro.
Damn.
This is for me, bro. That's you, man.
Yo, why this feel? This real money.
Real money, bro. We don't mess with fake money, bro. We don't mess with fake money, bro.
It's hard right here, bro.
And you know what? And you have the rights and anything to use that with whatever you want. No strings attached. That belongs to you, bro. And again, you know, I'm glad we're doing this interview, right? Because I want people to see in Philadelphia, man, that you have people in Philly that's really doing big things. Big things. Now, we're not just doing some hood stuff that five people are entertaining. We really doing big stuff that we about to take over the world.
Facts. This is dope.
And if I ever see you in the street, y'all, and you don't tell me who your favorite rapper is, they already know who it is. You know, I'm not going to reveal his name, but you should know because I say it over and over. You know, but to me, it's like this, bro. It's like I have a platform, you have a platform. And I think that we have an obligation to the next generation, man, of people that just haven't got up top yet to do 5 years. But they probably on their way if they keep doing the crazy stuff they're doing. We have that obligation to let them know, bro, this is a different way to the game. This is a different way to the game. This is the way. This is the way, bro.
Yeah.
You know, when I listen to your story, I always wonder, like, damn, I wonder when he was at top, did he ever imagine that 10 years later, you'd be a brand?
Hell no.
I mean, think about it, man.
Hell no.
Think about it.
I thought I was coming home to work.
When they told me, yo, you want a Pulitzer Prize, I was like, what the heck is that? I didn't even know what a Pulitzer Prize was. I had to Google it, call people like, yo, what is a Pulitzer Prize? They was like, you don't know? You won that? Then it was on CNN and everything. Then I was like, I knew it was serious when Don Lemon was like, and the winner is Suave. I was like, who? Don Lemon from CNN? That's when I knew this shit was serious. But I knew it was even more serious when the president's daughter called me and came to one of my live podcasts with the Secret Service. I was like, whoa, this is serious. Yeah, this is serious stuff.
That's different.
This is different on a whole different level.
Different on a whole different
level. On a whole different level. Latinos. You know, when I say Latinos, let me say this, man. Four Latinas won Pulitzer Prize because of my story. Four Latinas. And I'm going to keep saying that. Never in the history of this game have you saw a Latino win a Pulitzer Prize. And on top of that, people forget. I also won the IDA, which is the Oscar of podcasts. You know, we took that home. You know, and it bothers me sometimes that I see my people in the streets in Philadelphia, right? And they're like, psh, what is that? I'm like, that's something that can change your life. Something that can change your life. And me and Joey talk about this all the time. You know how hard it is to get any content on the air that could be listened to? And I'm not just talking about 3 likes, man. I'm talking about we could put this on the radio tomorrow and have it go. That's juice, man. When you go create a shirt and you know, I know at least 100,000 people going to rock my stuff.
That's juice.
That's juice. You know, I'm going old school people with the juice, but that's juice. That's what we used to call juice in the 80s, bro. You know, that's power. And if you don't understand the power in media and branding, then you got a problem. Then you got a problem.
I'm using that. I'm using juice.
That's juice. You got a problem.
I'm about to drop a restroom look. Juice.
Yo, love money, juice. You know, and I tell people this, man, like, we buy everybody's clothes, man. We buy everybody's clothes. We buy Nike. We buy New Balance. We buy everybody's clothes. But when it comes to supporting our own, we always got a problem.
Yeah.
We always want 125, I'll give you 90.
Yeah.
Nah, bro. You can't go into the Ralph Lauren store and say, I'll give you 90 for that polo. You paying that 100 for that polo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you go to Ross and catch it on the $60 sale. That's real rat.
No, that's
why you
want to
shortchange me? Because we Latinos. And that's exactly what it is. You know,
yeah, that's real
we
shit.
Always want to jump on the bandwagon when we make it to the top. I don't want you there. I don't want you to jump on my bandwagon when I'm on the top. I need you now. I need you now. So when I get to the top, I don't have to be like, oh my God, who? I know who was there with me because you're on the top with me. Because if I eat, you eat. But don't come later on like, man, I want to get in on what you're doing, no.
That's how it be, though. A lot of people, I think what happens is a lot of people don't dream as big as some successful people dream. And I think, like, you know, people kind of like, sometimes it's on purpose, sometimes they're opportunists, and sometimes they just was just blind. And it was just like, damn, like, I got people that come to me now, and sometimes they want to borrow money, and I'm just like, dude, you never borrowed money from me in your life. Yeah. But I can't judge them and say they only borrowing it because they know I got it. We always had a good relationship. It's just they never even bought nothing off me sometimes. And they'd be like, damn, maybe they got a lot going on. So it's like, I don't know what angle to judge nobody on when it's like, damn, did you wait till I get on top to come? Did you wait till you know I got this much money or this going on so you could borrow from me? So what I do lately is I ignore a lot of people. And damn, it feel good.
Well, listen, man. I do that every day.
It feel good.
I ain't know a bunch of people, right? Because it's all right to say no.
I struggle with that for a long time, man.
But, you know, you got to be able to say no. You also got to be able, man, as a brand, as a business owner, to make them hard decisions, man. Like, sometimes you got to tell families, you got to tell friends, I can't, bro. You are a liability. I can't have you on my team. You are a liability. And I do that. I don't even lose no sleep, bro.
I struggle with just...
And I'm going to tell you why, bro. Because when I was up top, I could count in one hand the people that remember my birthday, the people that remember Christmas, whatever holiday. I don't even celebrate that stuff. But I can remember them people that say, yo, I was just thinking about, I remember the people that just sent me one word, yo, love, or stay up. I remember them dudes, man. And I always say, I got a twin sister. In 31 years, my twin sister never sent me a birthday card. Because she told me she forgot about my birthday. She forgot she had a brother. I got it. I forgive her. But I don't forget. Feel me?
Damn.
Yeah. It's real like that.
Twin sister?
Twin. But I don't forget. I forgive you. I got it. I understand it. But I don't forget. So now that I'm half all right, she don't have my number, you know. Because we don't have that bond. But I remember that. Damn, for 31 twin? Years, I waited for that one car. I only wanted one car in 31 years because one car would have let me know you was thinking about me. But I never got that one car. So I was like, okay, cool. She forgot she had a twin brother. It's the same way in life with some of these people out here. When you down and you was selling them food stamps, a lot of people probably forgot, like, this dude got some talent. This dude could be the next designer in the hood. They forgot because they was too busy focusing on themselves. So with that said, bro, where can people contact you? Social, where can they get your shirt?
Instagram is Pilot and Co. That's Pilot, A-N-D-C-O, .catalog. Hit the link in the bio, www.lvmny.shop. Instagram also has the personal business page, which is just LVMNY_. And you can also just find Joey, man. Joey will call me, man. You know what I mean? Call Suave, man. Suave can reach
me. Yo, y'all already know. If y'all heard it here first, y'all know this is official. Y'all listening to DBI Live, Fet Life, Mega Ever College Station. Catch us out there. If you not wearing a Love Money shirt, you really ain't wearing nobody's brand, bro. Seriously, you don't know what you're missing.
Facts.
If you're trying to get that girl, you know, she's caked up. But if she ain't got no love money in her,
you ain't got her, bro.
I like this guy.
I'm dead serious, man. Listen. You better get it now. Because the price that you're going to get it today might go up tomorrow.
Facts.
And you listening to DBI Live. See y'all next week.
Y'all stay put. I'm going to clip that interview there. That's going to be the interview. I got one selfish question I want you to ask him, and then I'm going to use that for my documentary. Please, I know we ain't talking about this part. Ask him about the feature with Endangered Species. And detail you can give, meeting me, why you did it, et cetera, et cetera. I just want that little clip for my documentary.
Yeah, what is the, you know, what's that feature with Endangered Species about, man?
Oh, I can answer that now? All right, say it again.
What's that feature you did with Endangered Species, bro?
Oh, it's okay, Joey DeVille. Joey DeVille and Christine, Suzanne Christine got this song that they had, and Joey reached out to me like, hey, I know you're not really doing music no more, but I really would love for you to like drop some lines on this song with me. And I was like, you know what? Okay, cool. And I think what happened was when I finally heard it, the beat and the way he worded the hook, I wanted to speak on, you know, God giving us freedom and how we should be using our freedom. Even though the culture teaches us, like, you know, live your life and do what you want, that's not my definition of freedom. So I kind of, like, went into the verse kind of just, like, expressing what I think freedom was about. You know what I mean? And it's about, like, you know, one hand washing the other. And not just for, like, my mom's son. For, like, God's children. And that's what my verse embodied. And Joey DeVille is just one of my, like, favorite artists in the city as far as hip-hop. Not rap. Rap is a whole nother lane. I think they should separate the two. I think the culture should separate hip-hop and rap. I think it, and not battle rap. No. There's hip-hop, there's rap, and then there's battle rap. They all fall under the same culture, but there are divisions. Joey DeVille is hip-hop.
Facts.
Thank you. That was good. Stop it over here.
Said, God gave me